Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by 23andMe, a personalized genetic service based on your 23 pairs of chromosomes. It's found right in your DNA. For Valentine's Day this year, give that special person the gift of knowledge. Go to 23andMe.com and get $20 off when you buy before Valentine's Day. And by BarkBox. BarkBox paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys for your dog and ships them right to your door. To receive a free month of BarkBox with your 6 or 12-month subscription and free shipping, visit getbarkbox.com/twit.
An Oscar-nominated VR film, new smartwatches to go with a new OS, and should you have the right to repair? Live from the Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
Savers, I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Florence Ion.
Oh, that flow. Is your real last name Ion?
Always and forever.
That's wild. Was your dad a chemist?
No. But our license plate was the Ions for a long time.
The Ions. It sounds like a Pixar family. The Ions. Anyway, welcome from All About Android, Florence Ion.
Thanks
is episode 91 for Feb 11, 2017. Thanks to Travis, did a great job. Opening our show today, he's from Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
We got a good show. We're gonna Hey, here's Travis and Lena. We're gonna show you our new watches. Android Wear 2.0 is here, and we're gonna try to figure out how to show you these watches.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Let's not knock anything.
So you got the style, and I
do.
Got the sport.
I'm styling, and you're sporty.
I'm sporty.
So
mine,
sporty.
It's good you didn't get mine because it's so big. But we'll
yeah,
talk.
But you have. Well,
I have more features.
Yeah, we'll talk.
I have three buttons. We'll talk about that in just a second. And what's new in two?
What is new?
More U.S. states are considering something they call the right to repair. Kyle Weens from iFixit is here. He's been an advocate for this. That's really what iFixit is all about, is the knowledge and the tools you need to repair everything. Megan and Jason, you were so mean, poor Jason.
I was a little bit, tiny bit.
Hashtag Twit Switch. They switched. Megan used his Pixel, his Android phone, and Jason used her iPhone for a whole month.
Whole month.
And both of them suffered mightily.
A little, yeah, they did.
Mostly because of you. We'll show you their pros and the cons on both. The first film ever nominated for an Oscar with a VR version, and it's a really great film. It's called Pearl. We're going to talk to Academy Award winner Patrick Osborne in just a bit about how he made it, why he made it VR. We just watched it. It's really good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's beautiful.
Also, of course, got questions all about Android in the help and the mailbag. But let's get started with Hot Topic. You probably talked about this Tuesday and all about Android. Vizio paid a $2.2 million fine to the Federal Trade Commission because, turns out, they'd been watching us with their TVs.
Makes sense.
Makes sense?
Sure.
I think that's one thing to point out. They've been doing it since 2014. Apparently, Vizio was monitoring what people were watching. They used kind of a clever technique to do that because it was just a TV, right? They were pattern matching pixels. So they'd see the pixel pattern on your TV, take a little sample, and then see what TV shows it matched. And then they'd have data about what you were watching, right? Presumably they were selling that data. I'm not sure whether it's to advertisers or TV networks. But I would point out that while now they're going to be forced to tell you if they do this, and they have to turn that off
yes.
on earlier TVs, that probably this has been going on in other devices forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
My one data point is in 2000, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, mm-hmm. TiVo came to us at Tech TV, and they said, well, we took this whole Screensavers episode, and we've got a graph of how people watched it, how many people were watching at any given time. How we know what the most rewound, you know how TiVo lets you go back, mm-hmm. what the most rewound. Lots of information. They'd anonymized it, but it was information they sold to TV programmers. This would be useful, wouldn't it, to know what people liked, didn't like, where they rewound. That means they wanted to see it again. We did not buy it, but that was 16, 17
yeah.
years ago. So I figure Roku and Apple and probably all of these companies are doing something about the data.
Well, Roku knows when I'm watching things on YouTube.
How do
we
know?
Will, I'm still not actually sure about this, but what I watch on Roku will eventually, when I go to YouTube on the desktop, it'll
well,
see
course,
what I...
because you're logged into your YouTube
No, I'm
account.
Sorry. What I've watched on Google Play, for some reason...
shows up
yeah,
on your YouTube.
Like, similar... I may have the services wrong,
I would
notice
bet that Google's doing that,
yeah,
right? Because Google knows, and they keep
precisely,
track.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But so anyway, I guess a couple of things. Certainly, it's good to know, and so Vizio will have to tell you, and everybody should have to tell you if they collect that kind
yeah.
of information. It should be anonymized,
just
and if it's not, like if they say, "Well, this is what Florence was watching,"
reality TV.
I'd like to know, really, which one.
A lot of them.
Oh, you've been watching the politics these days. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
And here's an article in Wired, how to get your smart TV to stop from spying on you. This is, you know what, everything you do on the internet, they've been spying on us from day
yes.
one. I figure TV, this is probably nothing new, but it's good to know in case you didn't, and there's something you can do about it. Thank you, it says. So select, reset, turn off. Oh, I love what they call it. Vizio calls it
Smart interactivity.
Like, no, instead of like, we're spying on you, smart interactivity. Okay, LG does not, according to LG, because WebOS does not, but older sets will. Samsung? Hmm?
Theirs is at least called Sync Plus in marketing.
Well, yeah. It always bothered me that Samsung in its smart TV interface would show ads. It always bugged me. Panasonic did that, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like,
see,
I don't
I've
want...
just been using Roku.
I bought
so
a
I haven't...
TV. Why should I have ads, right?
Yeah.
Well, Roku kind of has ads now.
But
in the guide on the right,
yeah.
right? It
yeah.
shows you, hey,
in the screensaver.
Have you watched Frankenstein, the new monster? No, I
You're
haven't.
Like, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway. Other stories. Good
yes.
news. The purple Prince, his purpleness is back on the streams. So you remember 2 years ago, Prince pulled all of his music from everything but Tidal.
Hmm.
But after his passing, the rights to his stuff, RIP, yeah, we love Prince, reverted to a company or in his estate who then sued Tidal, saying Tidal had copyright infringed by playing songs from his back episode, and then the estate negotiated with Universal to expand distribution. So the estate had different, obviously has different agenda than Prince did. They didn't honor his wishes. So now, starting tomorrow, coincidental with the Grammys,
mm-hmm.
right? You'll be able to listen to Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
Rain. You and I were singing that together. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful thing. I'm sorry you missed it.
Watch the pre-show.
Yeah. 1999 and Sign of the Times. So it's not, I guess it's not the whole catalog. The thing I find interesting is, as you know, it is in his mansion in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? The Purple Palace?
It did have a name.
Huh?
Paisley
Park. He would record all the time in there. And there's tons of studio recordings of unreleased material. And I think the plan is for the estate to also release that over time. And that would be great. And I would buy that.
Oh, boy.
Right?
We're going to have a Michael Jackson situation happening after Prince's passing.
What happened with Michael Jackson?
They released songs that he had recorded after the fact.
Never
and it
did.
Was, I mean, he had a whole album a couple of years ago. Slightly creepy.
I know that. Yeah, but Prince, went to his studio almost every day and recorded
yeah.
stuff. So there is a lot of stuff. We have now, for the first time, according to Business Insider, a peek at the Magic Leap. You know about Magic Leap, right? How would you describe Magic Leap? It's augmented reality. Vaporware, right?
That's about...
Vaporware with a lot of money, $4.5 billion
yes.
in investment. They're building a visor. We're not sure. Something like the HoloLens. But it's been very tightly guarded. Some people, myself included, have been somewhat skeptical that they'll be able to deliver. I talked with Scoble on Twit on Sunday, and he said, well, it's true that the ray tracing technique that they had hoped to use has been harder to implement than they said, so they've reduced the number of rays from, I think it was from 5 to 2. I don't even know what this all means. I'm saying words. But they had to step back a little bit on that. Focal points. I don't know. They were doing something weird. But this is unconfirmed. The folks at Magic Leap have nothing to say about this. This is a backpack. Next week, there's a big board meeting, and Magic Leap is supposed to demonstrate a prototype of their technology.
The future.
There it is, the future, right there. I hope I don't have to have a yellow backpack.
It looks like a floaty from the plane.
It does. It does. And it's a circuit board, obviously. You can see that protected by plexiglass, but not fully, I guess. So it's an engineering prototype. I don't think the camcorder in his left hand is a big part of that, but maybe, who knows? And then...
Is that aluminum foil?
Yeah. I believe that's chewing gum. Chewing gum wrapper. It's very effective for holding. Anyway, there you go. That's the Magic Leap. I hope this is real. And Robert was very... And this is his beat. He's adamant that Magic Leap is going to happen. It's going to be a big deal. I see that you have... Oh, one more story, and then I want to ask you about your computer. I love this story. Now, I'm a Yale alum. Mm. And there was a college at Yale. Yale is a college system like Cambridge, so there's, I think, 12 or 13 residential colleges. I was in Trumbull. But there was one named Calhoun, named after former U.S. senator and vice president, who was a notorious proponent of slavery. He even said slavery was good for African Americans. And so it was very controversial on the Yale campus. A lot of students didn't want to live in Calhoun College, especially African American students. Last year, the Yale Board of Trustees decided not to rename the college. They said, this is the history of the college. We'll talk about it. We'll, of course, repudiate it, but it is the history of the college. The Yale Corporation overruled the trustees in their renaming, and this is why we're mentioning it today, because I love it. Admiral Grace Murray Hopper College. I love it. It's going to be Hopper College.
Adorable.
I love it. Of course, Grace Murray Hopper passed away not so long ago. Mm-hmm. She was the creator of COBOL, early programmer, and a woman, needless to say. And so I think that that's actually a really good choice.
Agreed.
Unless we find out she was into slavery, and choice. I said that. She's not, that was not true, obviously. She was, people often say she was the first person to use the word bug, because in her notebooks from the 40s, she has a moth taped to the notebook, and she says, the first incident of a bug in our software. I know.
That's kind
See
of amazing.
See if you can find that image. It's a really great image.
I love that.
But in fact, the word bug had been used for hundreds of years before that in Jacquard looms and programmable looms and things like that, as a programming error was called a bug. So she was making a play. There it is. She was making a play on it.
Oh, my goodness.
She thought it was kind of funny. She says, first actual case of a bug being found. It was a moth in one of the relays. She had a sense of humor, too. Anyway, Grace Hopper College. Finally, you have a new laptop.
I do have a new laptop. This. I haven't debuted on All About Android yet. This is my new Chromebook.
You got the Asus.
Asus Flip.
Show it flipping.
I should know its name.
It's the
R300. Anyway, this is why I got it, because it does this.
It's almost 13 inches.
I mean, 12.5 inches.
Okay. It has Android.
I'm touching this right now. It's not
touch.
Doing anything, surprisingly.
It's touch on the other side, though, right?
Touch on the other side. 360-degree hinge, 2.6 pounds,
nice.
Not too bad. About the same as a MacBook Air, of course, the power of Chromebooks at your fingertips.
I like
here.
That. And all the Android store.
4 gigs of RAM.
There
Intel.
It is, C302.
Core M3, which is their mobile
very
processors.
Fast. So I just bought a very similar one from Samsung, the
you
Plus.
Did.
Theirs is an ARM. They have a Plus and a Pro. The Plus is the ARM version, and the Pro is the M3
mm-hmm.
version. But I thought I'd get the ARM version to see what battery life is like. What's the battery life like on that? It's pretty good.
Well, I've actually only had it for a day.
So it's
brand new. I'm starting my journey. I mean, next week I'm keeping a diary and everything. This is my first Chromebook I've ever used. I've never used a Chromebook before this.
What?
I know, and I've been covering
Android. I'm very curious what you think. I'm a huge fan. I was very skeptical when they first started. In fact, I got in a debate over with Sundar Pichai back when he was running Chrome OS down at the Google campus. I was at an event, and I said, Sundar, this is crazy. This is when they first came out. This is crazy. Why would anybody buy a computer that just has a browser? You've got the browser in any other computer. Why would you buy that? He says, no, and he was very patient, did not yell at me.
No.
I was very impressed.
Extremely gracious person.
Very gracious.
Yes.
And he explained it. I still was skeptical. I've come around.
And now it has Android apps.
Yeah. This is a great choice. And what I like seeing is high quality. This is all aluminum.
It feels like a MacBook.
It feels good.
It does.
And it's less than $500.
It is.
Yeah. And
although,
probably does everything you want it to do.
I bought it off some third-party seller who charged a little bit more. Because they were sold out on Amazon.
Oh.
This was sold out on Amazon.
That's right. You got it. It's brand new, right?
Can't wait. Anyway, you'll see me using all about Android. I'm excited. I'm excited for this new journey with my new laptop.
I can't wait to see what you think. On the line right now with his old friend Kyle Weens, of course, co-founder of iFixit.com. iFixit considers itself the repair manual for the internet for everything from your Chromebook there to McDonald's Happy Meals. They sell the parts. They sell the tools. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. So I think you must be encouraged by a trend. We're starting to see states... Massachusetts,
yeah.
Minnesota, New York, Nebraska, Kansas, and Wyoming, but although I imagine more will come along, with legislation defending your right to repair. What is the right to repair, and how has this become a movement?
Yeah, well, this all started with the auto world. Back in 2012, Massachusetts passed an auto right to repair law, and the idea was that local shops and consumers would be able to have access to manuals, schematics, and parts that they didn't have access to otherwise. Massachusetts actually put it on their ballot and people voted and they said, hey, do you want to be able to, you know, take your car to a local dealer or a local independent shop to get it fixed instead of the dealer? And 87% of Massachusetts said yes. And so since then, a whole bunch of folks have been working on expanding that from cars to everything else, particularly electronics.
Rightly so. I mean, you own it. Why shouldn't you be able to fix it? Who's against this?
Of Apple and several others, but primarily Apple.
Well, and John Deere, right?
John Deere.
They're the big...
tractor.
They have proprietary software in their tractor. They say if we let people into it, they'll steal it.
Right. Or they actually said that if farmers could repair their own tractors, then they'd use the touchscreens on the tractors to pirate Taylor Swift.
Whoa, really?
That was in a letter they sent to the copyright office. John Deere doesn't like me very much.
Of all the artists, though, Taylor Swift, that's a story
Taylor
for another
Swift.
Day.
Well, for years, if somebody didn't like a technology, they would say, think of the children. Think of the women. Now it's think of Tay-Tay. Think of Tay-Tay.
All the farmers victimizing.
She's doing fine.
How are these bills doing? Are they going to pass?
We don't know. So this is purely a factor of, like, are the legislators going to listen to the people? Are all of us going to be vocal enough? So in order for this to work, people need to call and write their legislators. Unless it's a, like, really visible vocal issue that lots of folks are calling about, it's not going to happen.
Right.
In general, the folks in the legislators in the legislatures don't understand technology as well as we do, so they don't understand how important this is. It's up to us to kind of share that with them.
So why is this only specific to a couple of states?
Yeah,
like I noticed,
why is it California?
Yeah, I noticed California wasn't on the list.
Well, let's do it. I'm in California. It totally comes down to what legislators are interested in initially. The nice thing is all we really need is one state to pass it. And it's one of the requirements is, hey, put information online about how to fix things. Well, if Massachusetts does that, it will work for the rest of us
as well.
Right. So we really only need one of these states to pass it, not all of them.
So if you're in one of the states, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Nebraska, Kansas, or Wyoming, write your member, your state legislator, and say, I want this. Please vote this. And if you go to iFixit.com, you've got a whole article on your blog there. In fact, you've even got how to find your legislator, how to write to them, what to say to them, and all that stuff.
And we've got a pretty nifty thing, so you can punch in your address and it'll kind of prompt you to write a letter and they'll send it to them. Okay. But we also have a phone call widget where you can punch in your phone number and your zip code and it will call your cell phone and then connect you to your representatives and it'll connect you to each one so you don't have to make the calls.
Do both.
Do both.
Do both.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Couldn't hurt.
Well, Kyle, and particularly in New York and Massachusetts, that's where I think we've got the best odds right now. Okay. So
right.
If you have any friends there, if you know anybody at all, get them to call their legislators. We really need help. In Massachusetts, we have co-sponsors of the bill. 25% of the House of Representatives has co-sponsored the bill.
That's nice.
So
that's great.
It's really looking promising this year, but it's not going to happen without everybody's help.
Kyle Weens, iFixit.com. You can read more there. And I should mention iFix is a sponsor of our shows, but that's not why we have you on. We have you on because we love you. iFixit's the free repair guide for everything. And this is an important cause that we can get behind. I think we can all get behind this one. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
The Twit switch is over. Megan and Jason breathing a big sigh of relief. Megan using a Pixel, and she tried to use an Android Wear watch, and she said,
I feel bad. I gave her the, like,
she likes
sort
yours,
of,
the she, Asus.
Yeah. But I gave it to her so late in the Twit switch.
She had a first generation Moto 360.
It's so
it was terrible.
Bulky.
Yeah. She called it a crap watch. She said, do you have anything better than this crap watch? I said, well, I've got the second generation Moto 360, which is even bigger. But I think she liked yours, so that was good. And then, of course, Jason. He used an iPhone 7 and an Apple Watch. I think he got the better of the deal, frankly.
The Apple Watch actually looked very good on him.
Yeah. It was very fetching.
Mm-hmm.
We will check in and find out who won, the pros and the cons. But first, I want to talk to you about my jeans. What's in your jeans?
I don't know yet.
Who's in your jeans? Your husband's in... Wait a minute. Your husband has done 23andMe.
Yes, he has.
And you're going to do 23andMe.
Yes.
You know what? This is a great Valentine's gift for your honey. Would it be kind of romantic. Here's 12
I
roses.
Agree.
And spit into this vial.
I'm kind of hoping. Anyway, hint, hint.
Saliva, they say. It's not just for kissing anymore. It's very easy. There's no blood or anything. They just, literally, you just, did you see him do it? I did it too. I've done it. I did it years ago. You just spit into a vial and then you send it in and they're going to analyze your chromosomes. They're going to tell you how your DNA breaks out across, well, I love this one, 31 populations worldwide. Let me show you. This is my 23andMe. I did this a long time ago. My back is hair free because a gift from my Neanderthal ancestors, it says. Did you know that the Neanderthals did not have hair back?
What?
I don't.
I thought they were, I mean, you hear Neanderthal.
You think they
and you
were
think
hairy,
that, like,
right?
Hairy person.
Well, so I have 265 Neanderthal. This is kind of cool, Neanderthal variants,
what?
But that's a low number. That's a low number but among my family and friends, I'm in fifth place for the Neanderthal.
Oh, okay.
Neanderthal gene. But this is the one I really like. If I go back a little bit, these are all the reports. I mean, you could find out traits about wellness, about what disease you might be more likely to get. But I love the ancestry report because I can see my ancestry composition. And what's really fun is I can see it going back through the generations. So in my first generation, I'm 39% British and Irish, okay? But as we go back in time, there's French and German. And if I go all the way back to the 1780s, Scandinavian, Italian,
Ashkenazi-Jewish.
I have one of my ancestors, and they say most likely third great-grandparent, fourth great-grandparent, or fifth great-grandparent, maybe sixth or seventh, who was 100% Ashkenazi Jew. Probably born between 1690 and 1810. I know. I don't have this genealogy information, but it's fascinating to see this information, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to know this about yourself?
I really do.
See, they got a great business because basically it's all about you. Well, who wouldn't want to know all about you? So here's the deal. We're going to get you $20 off for Valentine's Day. Oh, I got to show you one more thing. That's really cool. Let me go back to my reports. If I can also find relatives.
This what? Is,
yes. And it found a second cousin who's almost based on genes. Now, they have a million people who've done this, so it has to be matched up against other people who've done 23andMe, right?
Right.
But based on genes, here it is, DNA relatives.
Oh.
They found 1,364 relatives, but the closest one is a second cousin who has the same last name as my grandmother. So I'm pretty sure that's true. They didn't know my grandmother's last name. They did it purely on genetic analysis. Isn't that amazing?
So blood donors.
Blood donors.
Right.
Like I could go to them if I needed blood.
Who
hey,
related?
Anthony. Second cousin. and then it goes back a little farther to, you know, and you can be anonymous in this, by the way. You totally get to choose how private your information is. But what would be great is to get your whole family
That's
to do this.
Neat.
And certainly to get your spouse involved, get your parents involved, get your kids involved. Isn't that cool? 23andMe, true genetic analysis. You'll have access to all the reports available, as well as trait reports, carrier status reports, wellness reports, and you can download the database. That's really important to me. You can get the entire raw data database as well. So as we get more information, you can do some analysis on it. You now have this information available to you. You just supply your saliva sample from home. You mail it back to the lab. They give you a kit with 65 online genetic reports. People are going to love this. What a great Valentine's Day gift. 23, the number 23 and M-E, .com, and it's $20 off, but you got to buy it before Tuesday, before Valentine's Day. Even if you don't get, if you don't make the deadline, still do it. It's one of the coolest things I ever did. 23 and me. So was Jason kind of complaining this whole time that he had to use these iPhones?
No.
He liked them.
I was complaining about him bringing the iPhone to All About Android because the phone that he had on the show wasn't on Nougat. So sometimes we had problems like, anyway, I was mostly yanking his chain.
Wait, so he kept, wait a minute, now this is news to me. He kept some like old Android phone around so he could bring that to All About Android.
Yeah, the Axon 7.
Oh, that's terrible, Jason.
Well, it had
I can tell 6.0 you right now. I could tell you right now, Megan Maroney did not have some iPhone lying around, so she went whole hog.
Oh, dear.
And she suffered, by the way. She suffered. Let's find out. Here is a little bit of there's a lot more you can watch on YouTube, but here's a little bit of how it went with the hashtag TwitSwitch.
We've undergone a whole month.
We're different people. We were so innocent back then, a month ago.
Man, things were so different a month ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you spent a month with the Pixel.
I have spent a month with the Pixel, and I would say really never underestimate the ability to customize the apps on your home screen. I like to have things where my fingers are. On iOS, if you want something in the top left corner and something in the top right corner, you have to fill in the spots with other stuff.
Because it all kind of shifts over. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That kind of makes it more difficult.
And that's really frustrating. But with Android, I really have enjoyed just putting things exactly where I want them, exactly where my finger is going to find them when I need them. I also liked Google Assistant. She was just overall better. And I say better in the sense that I could say things my way. And she wouldn't understand me every time, but she would certainly understand me a lot more than Siri. And I think one of my favorite things was the Daydream VR. And I'm not huge.
Didn't see that one coming.
I know. I'm not huge into VR, but this is stuff that you just can't do on the iPhone. I enjoyed it. There was a game that I downloaded called Labster. It's not really a game, but you get to like pretend like you're in a lab and you walk around inside and you have to clean up messes.
Well, I have to check out this game.
And of course, finally, the back button. I really liked having a back button and I will miss that.
One of the top things on my list is just a general sense of cohesion, of fluidity with the interface, animations, visual splashes. 3D Touch was one of those things that I did not expect to make any sort of impact whatsoever. I figured it was just going to be a throwaway function. But anytime I went to use 3D Touch, most of the time it showed me what I was hopefully going to find. Ecosystem interplay is another thing. Apple has really designed all their hardware to be aware of all the other hardware that they create, right? So the iPhone and the watch, you know, communicate and interoperate really well. I really liked portrait mode in the camera because that I would say about 2/3 of the photos that I took were in portrait mode because the more I used it, the more I got those really nice kind of like blurred background, sharp foreground. And then I think just in general, I really appreciate iOS's and Apple's approach to updates and just the fact that everybody gets updates more or less right around the same time. I really wish we had that on Android, and it's something that I long for.
All right.
I'm worried to hear what you did not like.
If you don't like to hear people complaining, just mute me. Messaging was my most frustrating aspect of the past month. iMessage works, and I don't blame Android for this. I blame Apple because they make iMessage a closed system. I even deactivated my phone number before I switched, and I still wasn't getting messages. It was people would send me a message, and then they wouldn't see, but it would say it didn't go through, but they would never look. That was frustrating to me. I love iMessage, and that's where my people are. That's where most of my people are, and I will be excited to get back to my people. battery life. I know you liked the quick charge. You like the quick chargeness mm-hmm. of the Pixel. Uh-huh. But I'm not, I don't, that's not my habit. My habit is to go all day and charge all night. And I never worried with the iPhone 7 that I was going to, that I'm going to run out. So what was frustrating, just in general, the change and the chaos of it. I want my phone to be, it's just a dependable piece of hardware. It just works. And having to figure out how everything works, I know I can go into the file system. It's just a settings away. I can go in there. I can tap other. I can look at all the files on my Android phone. And wouldn't that be amazing? I don't want to do that.
Well, as far as some of the things that I kind of ran into with iOS on a somewhat regular basis, just a general sense that things take me a little bit longer on iOS than they do on Android. A notification on iOS, you have to swipe it over and then tap to clear it. Sure, that's only two things to get rid of it, but on Android, I love that I can just go and get rid of seven notifications. Second would have to be Siri. With Google Assistant, you can give a voice command and there's a certain syntax that it's looking for, but Google is smart enough on the back end to take what you said and convert that into the proper syntax and then give you the answer for that. And I felt like with Siri, if I wasn't asking exactly the right question or phrasing it properly, or if I just didn't know that that's not the kind of thing that Siri gives you the answer for, then I would end up with a web search. Oh, widgets? Eh. Android has had widgets for so long, and it's more embedded into the main home screen that you're constantly interacting with. On iOS, it's like, we've got widgets. We put them over there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's this little bar over on the side, and you can get to them, and kind of messy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think and I mentioned this again yesterday on iOS Today, just a general lack of control over everything, which I'm very used to having on Android. I'm very used to being able to control a lot of things that go deep into the OS. And it's just part of how I use my phone. Overall, I'm really happy that we did the switch because, at least for me, selfishly, I wanted to understand what iOS is like. Mm-hmm. And I've felt like the only way that you do that is you live with it for a while mm-hmm. and you see what it's all about.
Would you ever do that?
Well, see, Jason had a good point because I don't know where the iOS perspective comes right. from anymore. I haven't used iOS since the 4S.
It's hard because I force myself to use both.
Yeah.
As well as Windows and Mac, as well as Linux, because I feel like I need to be, but it's hard to be kind of fluent all the same. But I think the most important observation Jason had was on iOS Today, and it's one I agree with, that really it's personal preference. There isn't such a huge difference that you're majorly disadvantaged in either direction. You should use what feels good to you. And basically, if you want Apple to choose settings and defaults for you, the iPhone is a better choice. It's for people who don't want to mess with their phone. If you like to mess with things, if you kind of like to tweak it, if you like to change it every day, then Android's great for that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the functionality is very, very
simple. We're at that point in time now where a lot of things are on the same level. But that portrait mode, by the way.
Yeah, you like that?
I wish I had that.
But we've seen that.
I wish I had that.
The Lumia phones, the Windows phones had that years ago.
That's
true. This has been around. There's nothing on Android that'll do that? Not really, I guess.
There's an app, I'm sure, but I want it natively built in.
The LG has dual...
It does, yes.
Cameras, and I presume that they would have enough information to do that. I don't know if they do. I haven't played with the G5 that much, but all right. I'm actually a fan of the Pixel, I have to say, and that's part of it is with Android, you have many, many hardware choices. She was using the best, in my opinion, the best of the Android choices. So she wasn't experiencing Samsung or LG or any of these other companies. She was just experiencing Google's pure flavor of Android. She didn't even use a third-party launcher, I don't think. I've come around, by the way.
She did.
Did she?
She had mentioned on All About Android this week that you had suggested
she tried Action Launcher
and then
Nova,
I think she tried Nova. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
I use Action because of you. You said use Action, right?
I have used it. Yes.
But you don't.
But
use
I don't
it?
Use it. No, no. I try to use default, whatever comes on the phone for my own research purposes.
Yeah, we probably should use the defaults, but I would never do. Thank you, Jason and Megan, for putting your heart and souls on the line like that. And good job. You can see more. We made a whole playlist because they've been talking about this all month.
It is a matter of heart and soul, by the way. You're very true about that.
It is.
It is.
You know, it's like saying, all right, I'll try being a blonde for a month.
No, just.
Yeah. Well, not exactly like that. There's an entire YouTube playlist. You can watch all of their comments. if you want to see more. With us right now, and I'm really excited about this, an Oscar winner, Patrick Osborne. He won in, when was it, 2012 for Feast?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Patrick, welcome. Yeah. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Great to be here, guys.
So an Oscar-winning director. You've done shorts before, animation before. What made you decide to do VR this time?
Well, I had worked on both Paper Man and Feast at Disney, and you know, during the tour with Feast at a film festival in Annecy, France, I met Jan Pinkava and Karen Dufalo, who are the creative directors of ATAP, which is a division of Google. And Jan Pinkava was actually a Pixar director. He did the Jerry's Game short, the short with the man playing chess back from the 90s. And they just asked if I would be interested in playing around in 360 video with Spotlight Stories, and VR was kind of just on the horizon there, so it was probably going to be involving VR as well.
You remember Spotlight Stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I got it with the Moto X as the first one I saw. And I was blown away. I thought, this is so cool, and I was wondering how creators would take to it. So, Patrick, how do creators take to it? Is it hard to work with? Is it fun? Do you like it?
It's a challenge to give up the idea of the frame being in your control as a director. And, you know, with the audience being able to move the phone around and kind of reframe the shot, you have to find other ways to get your fill of composition and make sure that the audience is actually seeing what you're wanting them to see. And it requires you to treat stories in a different way. And, you know, the story for Pearl actually came out of the challenge itself, where I thought I wanted to do cuts. If I was going to do a VR film, I wanted to use editing somehow. But if you keep cutting and putting the audience in a new location, they're going to lose where they are. But if you set them in an environment that's consistent, like a car, you can get away with moving the environment and still being able to orient the audience and not make them kind of have to look around at each cut.
So that was a good compromise. You did create a frame. It's just a broader frame than traditionally you'd get.
That is fascinating.
It's like a stage, and then you also have compositional frames within the car. You have the windows, which you can make beautiful compositions within, which gets a little bit of my kind of control freak nature out of the way and satisfied.
What tool do you use to make these? Did you make it 2D first and then make a 3D, or?
The storyboarding process is really hard because there aren't really tools for drawing on a sphere around you. I mean, Tilt Brush and Quill and some of these VR tools are starting to be that. But, you know, Photoshop, I would just draw a really wide storyboard. So it really ended up being a lot of Maya, you know, kind of the typical 3D animation tools that I'm used to using, but done in a very simple way. So we could put them on the phone. That's you're seeing it right there, kind of the simple version of it. And that's just a way to be able to get some kind of idea of what the film is going to be like. The hard thing about this type of storytelling is that you really don't see the finished product until it's done. There's no way to really see it all together at one time because the optimization is the final step, which allows it to play at full speed with the cuts actually working. So we had to work on very small chunks of it, get those to work, and hope that when we watch the whole thing, it was going to work out.
You saw a clip there of recording audio. You can't just do the visuals 360. The audio has to be 360 too.
Yeah, I think it's Apollo Music in San Francisco used this tetrahedral microphone, I think they call it, which records the sphere of sound around a point. And the hardware of the phone isn't fast enough yet to actually calculate sound bounce, how it bounces off of glass and cloth. So we had to make sure that we were recording the song with the actor sitting in the right place and the windows up or down or the car in a situation that matched the environment. Otherwise, you know, you get a little bit of that. I think it's almost an uncanny valley effect where the audio and the visuals don't match and you start to kind of feel dizzy and disoriented. We didn't want any of that. So that mic was required for that. And it really is a cool effect to sit in there and just like, even if you close your eyes and tilt your head and you just hear how the sound moves around the car, it's 100% accurate and it's really gorgeous.
Now for Academy voters, what do? You send them a daydream? How do you get them to see this?
We actually, I went into the VR headset and I recorded a camera. So it was basically me watching the VR experience and recording video like as if through a phone.
That's what we're seeing right now, in effect, right?
Yeah, and we output, yes, it's that. And we output that those images, about 30 minutes of video to an editor, to this guy Stephen Riley, went over to Passion Pictures in London. And I sat with Stephen and we edited 30 minutes of footage down to the 6-minute theatrical film. So what you see in the theater is like a 4K render from a cell phone that is actually kind of edited into regular DCP theater format.
Wow. Were there any, I mean, this is all a lot of work. What were the advantages? Were there any advantages as a storyteller?
I mean, I would love to be able to animate the whole world and then go shoot it after the fact in all animation. It's generally not an efficient way to work. You kind of want to not do what you're not seeing, you know, off screen. But I loved it. Like as a director, it kind of spoils you to be able to sort of animate the world and then find your shots later. But sadly, that takes a long time. So the tricky thing about this is that you really, the tools for reviewing and creating in VR are evolving, and they're finally getting to a spot where, you know, they're comfortable or starting to be comfortable. But at this point, we were making this on screens for 3D space, and that's a little bit of a detachment that's difficult.
I have to say, though, a kudos to you, because there is a storyline, there is an arc in this, and there is a great ending. And you, even though you as the viewer are getting to choose the angle and look around, you get it, and it happens, and you experience it. So it does really work.
It does.
Hopefully. I think it's like, I think you treat VR like theater, where you spotlight what you want people to see, and you add cues, sound and light and actual spotlights sometimes, saying, look this direction. And you also kind of know which way they're going to look, which way they're going to be sitting. But you also have to make sure all the choices you make just support the story, that the color and the music also help you get there. And that way the story washes over someone. And even if they don't see everything, they still get it on a macro level.
Well, it also works better as a short, because I was tempted to rewatch. Once you go through, you go, then you think, oh, let's do that again. Mm-hmm. Let's watch it. And this time, so you're sitting shotgun. You're, for the whole movie, you're in the passenger, front passenger seat of this. That's pretty much your point of view.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it depends on the vibe version.
I guess not.
We actually had to move some characters out of the way. For the 360 video version, you're kind of in between the two seats.
Yeah, you're in the console there,
But we discovered in the actual high-end headset, it felt weird to be sitting on someone's lap.
Right.
So we did move some characters around for the Vive version to make it work. It's cool that, you know, because it's done in real time, you can do that. You know, nothing's permanent about the render. So, you know, moving characters around isn't too big of a deal.
How big is the final file that you're going to render?
That's about, I think the game, the quote-unquote game, is about 300 megs. The engine that Spotlight Stories runs on is under a megabyte, because it actually runs in the YouTube app on an Android phone. If you have an Android YouTube app, you're running a game engine, and it's not even telling you.
Wow.
It's a pretty cool little thing. So you'll see it. It actually has parallax and stuff. If you open it on YouTube, you can actually see you know, it's not a video. It's not 360 video. It's interactive. And it also waits for you. If you're not looking in the right area at the right time, it'll give you a few minutes to kind of get yourself together, especially at the beginning. So it's between 6 and 7.5 minutes, depending on how you watch it.
That's really interesting. The length changes to make sure that you get the key experiences that you need to have.
Interesting. I see that little rendering happening as you're moving the phone.
It's definitely hard to do with music, but in the spots in between the verses, we can stretch a little.
Of course. Yeah, because you've got the
Some of the other Spotlight Stories do a lot more stretching. The one in there, Rain or Shine, has like 100 different ways you could watch it.
Right.
Mine's more linear than that.
I'm so glad to hear that. And by the way, there's a new one, The Simpsons has Planet of the Couches just came out. I'm so glad to see that Spotlight is alive, that these stories are alive. Because I kind of lost track after my Moto X, I moved on, and I didn't realize there are still people making these stories. In fact, now you're nominated for an Oscar, which is pretty darn awesome. I'm going to be rooting for
you. It's cool.
Are you going?
Are you going?
Of course, carpet? Yeah.
Tuxedo and all that.
It's all dry cleaned and ready.
Oh, yay.
What will you be wearing on the red carpet, have you said?
Well, my Armani, but my wife.
That's nice.
My wife is going to be, we're having a kid in about 2 months, so she's going to be hopefully the most pregnant person on the red carpet.
That is so awesome.
And she's so excited about finding that dress.
Do you think you'll do this again, or was this just a fun one-off?
Yeah.
It's a great group up there. The cool thing about Spotlight Stories is there's a few artists, but you really bring your team. I hired people fans of on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's really neat to kind of, assemble that team that way. And I live in LA, and Google's in Mountain View, so a lot of our work was actually done over Skype and Hangouts and you can really make a film that way now, which is kind of cool. People all over the world contributed to this.
And it's not as expensive either. You don't have to fly everybody out to a certain point to do everything. And that's great.
No, you don't. Yeah, it's cool. So,
how many people ended up working on this? Yeah. As you said, 6 to 8 minutes short. How many people ended up working on it?
Yeah, the first 2 months is like a trial and error period where you get the story working and do a test or two. And that part, I just had my production designer and a few artists, like two or three. And then once we got the go ahead to make the whole thing, it's I think we had 12 animators,
wow,
and 6 or 7 painters, artists in the kind of 2D painting design world, and then they have about. I'd say we had 5 or 6 lighting experts and then about 10 software developers that end up touching it. So probably about 45, 50 people.
For a 6 to 7 minute that's story. Yeah. That's amazing.
Most of them being on for about 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And for Google to be making these art projects, which really to them are...
I agree.
Yeah.
It's experiments. It's amazing that they're willing
to
fund...
There's no revenue in it.
There's not. So it's really cool.
Yeah. It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I loved it. I mean, I really loved it. It's a great story. You should all watch it. You feel good at the end of it. Patrick Osborne is the director of the first VR short nominated for an Oscar. It's called Pearl. And there are kind of lots of ways to watch it. You could search for it on YouTube. If you have a phone, iPhone or Android, mm-hmm. you download the Google
Spot. If you have a phone.
Yeah. Pretty much almost everybody can watch this on their phone, any smartphone.
Yeah.
Google Spotlight Stories, it's free. And there are lots of other stories on there. And it's cool because you don't have to have Daydream or Cardboard. You can just move around the phone and look around. I really love that part of Spotlight Stories. In fact, that was my first experience of this long before the Cardboard.
Swiveling in a chair?
Yeah, just going like...
Yes.
This. And I remember we were sitting in the old studio and I was trying to figure out how can I shoot this because I'm moving the phone all over the place. There was no way to show it. I just had to tell people to download it. It's also available on your HTC Vive if you want to get. Is that a much higher quality experience? As you said, you can't sit in people's laps.
I think so. I think that's like, that's almost like experiencing a memory. And then the phone version is sort of watched. It's like as if you were.
It's a little detached.
Watching it from your phone. Yeah, it's a little different. But it's a lot easier to move your head than it is to move your arms.
So. I'm going to try it on the Vive then when I get home. That sounds really cool. Hey, thank you. So nice to meet you, Patrick. Good luck at the Oscars.
Break a leg.
Thanks, Leo. I've been a fan of the show for a long time. So it's an honor to be on it.
Oh, wow. All right. Cool. Well, just think of me. I'll be watching you and rooting for you. When they say your name, I'll say, yeah! Thank you, Patrick.
Right,
all right, take care. Bye-bye. That's so cool.
That is neat.
I thought, this is cool, but nobody's going to do many stories because it's got to be tons of work. So I'm really glad to see more and more people
I mean, they put that much work into Pixar shorts.
Months. 6 months. Yeah, you're right.
And I imagine with all of this incubating, all this cross, you know.
And Google pays for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could be our future. We're just sitting in movie theaters with cardboard on our faces.
I see us, I don't know why, but I see us in floaty chairs with big Slurpees and visors on just like
I believe
this.
That was also a Pixar movie.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On a cruise ship? Yeah, I think so. Hey, do you have a puppy? Do you have a dog?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, we had one, but he passed away. I'm sad to say Ozzy did. But when he was around, he loved every month. You want to cry? He loved it when the bark box would come. If you have a puppy, honor your puppy, love your puppy by getting the best all-natural treats and innovative toys just right for your dog, including if you've got a heavy chewer. They've got a heavy chewer bark box, allergies. All the edibles are made in the U.S. or Canada. 100% of their products are animal tested on their own dogs. In this case, that's a good thing. BarkBox is a great way to find a variety of treats and toys from local and small businesses you may not see otherwise. They make their own products through their Bark & Company brand. So far, this is a huge success. We've had them on the show for years. 16 million toys and treats so far. And Ozzy loved his BarkBox. He just loved getting that. And actually, in a way, it makes me happy because I feel like he got something pretty special every month. Choose your dog size, Ozzy size, which is small and cute, up to 20 pounds, just right, 20 to 50 pounds, or big and bold, 50 plus pounds. Choose a plan. You can get 1, 6, or 12-month plans. They're shipped on the 15th of every month. BarkBox will keep your dog engaged, interested, and happy. You know, Ozzy had a lot of toys, but getting a new, every time he got a new toy or a new treat, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. That was kind of fun. And of course, if your dog says, I don't like that, that octopus is scary, they will ship you something else for free. Scout's honor. When your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com, their website, or the BarkBox app. And of course, you can cancel anytime. Shipping free in the continental United States. Give your dog the joy of a million belly scratches. Get 1 month free and free shipping with your 6 to 12 month subscription by going to getbarkbox.com/twit. BarkBox. Getbarkbox.com/twit. And we thank BarkBox for giving Ozzy a lot of smiles and for their support of the new Screensavers show. You ready to do you like call for help?
Yes.
Do you like helping people?
Of course.
You don't get to do that on All About Android or when you write it. You know, this is nice to have people call and ask questions.
It's my use job. Your expertise. It's to help everybody.
Yeah, I think so. So let's do it. It's time for a call for help. And Greg is on the line from Auburn. He was in studio not so long ago. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
You knew Steve Gibson in high school?
College? No. We worked back in the late 70s. It was a little startup in the Bay Area.
Wow.
And he was employee number one. I was employee number two.
Neat.
He moved on before I did. But, we went our separate ways and ended up – I became a fan of Security Now. So I thought, you know, I just retired recently and thought I'd come into studio and
neat.
See you guys tape it and hopefully get a chance to say hi to Steve. And you graciously let me do that. So
judging from the background, it looks like you stayed in tech, maybe even a little ham radio stuff there.
Ham radio there.
Yeah.
That's the station.
Nice. What's your call sign?
KO6TH.
KO6TH, W6TWT. Good to see you.
Very good.
What's your question?
So help, please. This is a tale of one phone, two cars, and a very frustrated user. That'd be me. When I get into the usual car I drive, everything's fine. The phone pairs with the car. If I'm playing a podcast at the time, it transfers to the car. I hear the podcast. Everything's cool. I can hit stop, rewind from the car. Phone responds. Everything's wonderful. I get into our other car, and if the phone is, say it's in my pocket, so it's all locked, everything's fine. I'm starting to drive down the street. It finally connects. The music player invariably starts up, and, you know, blares music at me. It's not what I want to listen to. I can't, you know, unlock the phone when I'm driving. So I got to stop. And, it's a safety problem. If the podcast is playing, it gets interrupted. The music player keeps coming on, and I just can't stop it. And, you know, if driving down the road, if I want to bring up Google Maps, right? I want to go somewhere. I got to turn the audio system on so I can hear it. The music player fires up again.
But is it always playing the thing that you played last, though? Isn't it just launching what?
It's very good at remembering where it was in that last song.
The bright side.
Which part is, you know, whatever it was. And I usually listen to podcasts. I'm not really, I mean,
but,
I've got to put things on there.
So I know that, like, when I was listening to my audiobooks and I get in my car, it picks up the audiobook.
Yeah.
And if I was listening to music and get in the car, it picks up the music.
Yeah.
So it does. It's at least smart enough to.
So it's car number two. It's a Honda CRV. Whatever it just interrupts whatever I'm doing and brings up the music player.
Oh. So it doesn't always bring up the last thing you were listening to.
it brings up the last thing I was listening on the music
player. On that device, I mean on that app, but it doesn't bring up the same app.
It brings up the music player always.
Ah.
Do you want the music player on in that
generally,
second car?
No, generally, I'm listening to podcasts.
How does Android work? Does it say this is a default and whatever I get in the car and just start playing music?
So what I was reading up on your question this morning, and from what I've found in many forums, it appears there's two different things going on. First of all, you said you had an LG Optimus.
Yes.
F3Q. So most LG and Samsung phones will have this little like default.
I'm
just
going
to start
player.
Playing when I connect to Bluetooth. So the way that I've gone beyond that to fix that is by unselecting media access from the Bluetooth profile for that particular Bluetooth. So that way, at least it won't like grab the music every time you get into your Honda.
But does that mean I can't listen to music anymore?
You can when you get into your main car, which I'm assuming is the car you drive every day.
Yeah,
and you want that to be
fine. I see. So you're just turning it off for the CRV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could just turn off that, and that way you still have phone and like contact sharing if you need to make a phone call while you're driving. Of course, you won't have media, so you won't have maps.
I need that too. I mean, you're driving down the road. The car is not, I mean, it's not a noisy car, but it's not quiet enough that I can just have the speaker of the phone be all I need.
Yeah. So and you're saying hands off the wheel, California law.
There's per device settings in the Bluetooth settings that let you say use for phone audio, media audio, or contact sharing. Mm-hmm. So one way to do that
turn
is
off
turn off the media, but then you wouldn't get maps.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't.
No, because that's part of it.
You wouldn't have maps come through the speakers. You would just have phone calls coming through the speakers.
So that's kind of not the perfect solution.
So
is there a way to specify, like, there shouldn't be a default app to launch? Or is that something that's built into the phone or the car?
Well, from what I read is that, so I have kind of an old car that doesn't, it only does phone calls. So I've never really had this issue.
It's never come up.
Yeah. But apparently new cars will force the music app to play.
Oh, that's terrible.
Apparently Ford does this too. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
It's a 2013.
It's a 2013.
What about Google Auto? Do you have that installed?
Android Auto.
I don't have,
Yeah.
Hard to have Android Auto.
So that might be one solution. And this is a new app that Google is now automatically enabling when you get in a car, when it's paired.
Yes.
And it has kind of specialized big buttons that that make it safer to use.
And it turns on hot word. So you can use OK Google with any voice.
Hey, that was mean.
Sorry. It was a demonstration.
Now, in the settings for this, can I choose what media players will launch?
You can do that with Smart Lock.
Okay.
So that way, every time you get into the car, and then you can choose, and that way, when the Bluetooth profile comes up and you connect to it, it'll automatically launch Android Auto, but you can only use Android through that app.
See, my sense is, if you have this on your phone, if you have this on your phone, that's going to override what the car is saying to do. You're, in effect, saying, no, I don't want my Samsung or my LG music player to launch. I want Android Auto to launch, and then within Android Auto, now you control music, you control maps, you control everything. So it's a little bit. I think it's frankly safer. I mean, this is why Google put this in. In fact, this is one of the things that Megan loved about Android and wished that Apple did with its iPhone. So this launches when you are attached to the Bluetooth that you've specified as car Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. You could even make it that only the Honda launches this.
Yeah, that's also true.
Oh.
And then that way you could say, well, Honda, when I get in, you launch this. The other car, you can do, because you do the right thing, you can do what you want.
Do the right thing.
Okay, is there a way of, so if I can't get Android, I think the phone is too old for Android Auto. It's Google, it's Android 4.1.2.
Ooh, that might just be.
I didn't. Look it up before the show.
It is limited, but four might be.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm trying to go as fast as I can.
Yeah.
This is a nice feature. There isn't. Yeah. I looked. There isn't like
it
a
does
way
require 5.0 now.
Oh.
So I have one more suggestion that may work.
Okay.
And that's it's going to cost you $3.
Hmm.
But it's the app Tasker in the Google Play Store.
Oh, I love Tasker.
And Tasker's great, yeah, because you can control the individual Bluetooth profiles. You can tell apps what the heck to do when you're going to locations. Like, you'll get more use out of this than just, you know, forcing your Android phone to do something that it's not doing.
For instance, I have it turn off Wi-Fi when I leave the house and turn it back on when I get home. I have it turn off audio when I get to the studio so it doesn't ring.
So if it can recognize the Honda,
it can have special tasks. It can have special tasks.
And, you know, if all else fails, try a new music app and maybe disable the...
Just uninstall the LG one, right? Or disable
the LG one. I'm using the default one. So maybe if I get rid of the LG music app, put a different one on there.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't uninstall it, but
You can disable it in the app panel in the settings.
Yeah.
And then have maybe Spotify as the default or whatever.
And this is a really nice question because it illustrates the difference between iOS and Android.
After
iOS, we would say, well, sorry, that's Apple. It's you know, there's nothing you can do. But on Android, there's usually
like five different
an infinite number of ways to try it. You would think that they would do as Windows does. They would have default apps associated with different situations so that those apps you could change what the default is.
Hopefully.
But that's what Tasker kind of is for you. So that's a good, I think Tasker's a great choice. I love Tasker. Yeah.
And it's
that's
just
a
good
idea.
Stuff. So afternoon project, sorry. But
and then get a new phone, for crying out loud.
Well, the thing is, this has got a keyboard on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a, that is.
Don't have
Nobody
any more
does
of
that
these
anymore.
Anymore.
Yeah, so, that is.
That's.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Doesn't the BlackBerry Priv?
I was just. Not just the Priv, but.
Does the new BlackBerry have a keyboard?
Yes.
It does, a physical keyboard?
Yes, and Android, the latest version of
and
Android.
And it's 7.0. Yeah, so you could go. It's actually a very good Android phone. It's not like that though. It's a it's a thinner, narrow. You know, it's the BlackBerry style. Nobody does that anymore.
This is the last one. Cold dead hands, guys.
I understand completely. But the other reason why you may want to upgrade at some point is because Android 4 is not safe.
Yeah, security update.
Yeah, I've been worried. I'm listening to Steve and everybody else, and it's
It's not that. I'll be honest. I don't think it's like. I've never known anybody who's had malware in their Android phone. Never knew anybody. And I know a lot of Android phone users.
Yeah.
Go to weird stores and you download, you know, don't download the Russian Steps wallpaper app, right? Putin's favorite bears. Don't download that.
That actually sounds like a great app idea.
Actually, I love that. Putin Rides, they call it. I'd be careful. But I don't think that you have to worry that much.
No.
There's a you know, for instance, I could send a carefully crafted MMS app to your phone and crash it right now because there's no fix for that stage fright bug.
Unless he's using text.
There is workaround that you don't download messages.
Yeah, you turn off. You have to turn off receive MMS messages.
Yeah, most apps will do that now.
Yep. Did that already.
But that's just one example of probably a lot of other things that could be done to you. But
Nobody's
going to do that to you because you're a nice guy, Greg.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate the help. This gives me
fun stuff.
Some hope, at least.
You know what? Once you start playing with Tasker, the fun never ends.
Yeah. Then you're going to that's why I said take an afternoon, because you may find
lots of other things. Yeah.
Things you want to program. Yeah.
Tasker's awesome. Yeah. Hey, it's good to talk to you, Greg.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate
All the best.
It.
Thanks for calling us. Next week, we're going to have another fine show with Alex Wilhelm will be joining us, Mr. Carbs. If you'd like to ask Alex a question, here's how.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
So how long have you had the style?
So I've had this for about 2 weeks.
So you got it ahead of time because it just came out yesterday.
Yes. Yes. I was writing about it a lot. Yeah.
Quite a bit. You will give us a little a more formed thought. Full review of your LG Watch style. Android Wear 2.0 came out yesterday. I was able to rush to the store and buy the only one of these in all of Petaluma. The AT&T guy said, that's it. There's no more. This is the LG Sport, the big brother to your LG style. We'll have a review of both watches.
I would say the main event, though, because this is the watch with all the bells and whistles. I mean, this is the watch with GPS, yeah. a barometer.
I don't need a phone with
NFC,
this watch.
LTE.
I can make a phone call.
A big battery.
Yeah.
What else do you have in there?
And
three buttons. I don't even have
If you're
buttons.
On work furlough, your parole officer can use this to keep track of you as
also
well.
Very true. Yeah.
It kind of does look like one of those bracelets that they wear on work furlough. Anyway, our reviews of these coming up in just a second. But first, you've got to play this with us sometime. Keep talking and no one explodes. Have you ever played this game?
I have heard of this.
It's so much fun. Becky Worley, Mike Elgin, and Greg Farrow joined me. We're going to defuse a bomb, but there's a catch. Only one person can see the bomb, and only the other people have the manual. Watch.
We're going to all die.
It's time once again for We're Gonna All Die, a.k.a. Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, the virtual reality game that is so much fun. We've got a great panel to play with us. This is we're playing on PlayStation VR, but it's available on every platform. We've played it before on, a Gear VR. Becky Worley is here from ABC's Good Morning America. You're going to be the bomb defusal expert.
I should be the talker, not the listener.
You're the listener. Bad news. And apparently, Becky's never played a video game before, so she has no idea how they play.
The controller escapes me. So this is going to be idiot savant controller. We're all going to die,
we're
but let's have
die.
A good time doing it.
She's going to wear the VR helmet, and so she'll be seeing the bomb. Greg Farrow is here from the Packet Pushers Network. He's an IT professional. He should be great at this.
I don't know about that.
Mike Elgin
is... I'm not near the bomb.
Well, Mike Elgin's got the best position. He's farthest away from the explosive Becky Worley. Of course, Mike Elgin from Being Nomadic, or BecomingNomadic.com. BecomingNomad.com.
BecomingNomad.com.
I got it.
Yes, yes.
And one of the great tech writers of all time. We see you everywhere now.
I'm everywhere.
I saw you in Fast Company.
I'm loving that. Yeah, working with Harry McCracken.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
All right, so we have the bomb defusal manual. Becky's the only one who can see the bomb, and you at home. She's going to describe it. You can play along in the home version of our game. Just yell at the TV. And if all goes well, we'll have roughly 5 minutes to defuse the modules. Becky, are you ready?
Now, not at all.
And you see a list of bombs?
It's
a
good look for you, Becky. That worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this is exciting. Oh, pick up the pace. One step up. Something old, something new.
All right. Something old, something new, ladies and gentlemen. Seasoned bomb tech, Becky Worley.
Wow. Okay, here we go. We got this.
Okay.
The bomb is opening up. How many minutes are we going to have?
What are we doing? Wires?
What's black?
5 minutes. The wires black. Bomb? I'm in a room. 5 minutes.
Yeah. You'll see the bomb soon.
Press stop.
Okay. All right.
I hear it ticking.
Okay, I've got a menu. That's a bad sign.
can you order some appetizers?
Can I call tech support?
Press the back button.
Okay, I've got some buttony things.
Okay,
like
buttony
upside
things.
Down question mark.
Upside down question. Is it
backwards
is it four
E.
buttons? Upside down question
four
mark.
Sounds like two.
Backwards E. Okay.
As curly Q thing that looks like an at sign that got drunk. So I've got my order. I've got backwards E, upside down question mark, drunk curly Q, and KY.
KY?
I mean, it's like an HY. Wow, this is going wrong.
It's a funny H. It's like a scripty H with a little thing.
Second line?
It's the second one. So start with the upside down E, the backwards E.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the drunken at sign.
Okay.
And then the curly QH.
Yep.
Okay.
And the upside down.
Whoops. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho, okay. Yeah.
And then the upside down.
Okay.
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Green?
Yeah, everything's green. Do I move on?
Yep.
Okay. All right,
okay,
there's a thing that looks like an old TV screen that says 4, and it says 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
So no idea what that is.
Subject to memory.
Subject
to memory.
Okay.
All right, stage one. What does the display say? 4?
How do I select it again? Okay, I think I'm in it.
Move it around and press the X till it's yellow highlighted.
Okay.
Okay. And the number says 4, right?
Yeah.
Press the button in the fourth position.
Okay.
Did it go green?
4. So press the number 4. It's 1,
no,
2,
no,
3,
no.
4.
No, press the button in the fourth position. Wait a minute. What's the big number?
4 is in the screen, and then the numbers below are buttons that say 1, 2, 3, 4.
Press 4. The little 4.
No, press the button in the fourth. The button in the fourth position, not the number.
Yeah, it's just so
they're
the one on the right.
They're synonymous.
The
button
on
the right.
Yeah.
Fourth button on the
right.
Whatever number it is.
1, 2, 3, 4, she said.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, stage
green.
2.
Green.
Yep.
And what does the display say now?
3 in the screen, 2, 3, 1, 4.
Press the button in the first position.
Okay, good.
What is this?
Number in the screen is 2, 4, 3, 1, 2.
Press the button with the same label you pressed in stage one, which was 4. That's why you have to remember that.
Oh, that's hard. Green. Good job.
Okay, what's the next?
2.
Press the button in the first position.
Okay, good. Green.
And, oh, God.
4.
Press the button with the same label you pressed in stage 3.
Oh, no. We didn't.
keep track of that? No! Chat room, what number was in stage three? Two. Press two.
Phone a friend.
No! You only get three strikes.
Four. Four's in the monitor.
Press the button with the same label you pressed in stage three. Two. Press two. Press the two. No. We got one more strike. Four. Press the four.
Now it says number three in the screen.
Oh, crap. Press the button with the same label you pressed in stage four. Oh, can we start over?
That is painful to watch in replay.
Yeah.
Because I knew that wasn't going well.
Oh, boy.
That is a fun game if you've never played it. Would you like to play it sometime?
I think I want to play that at a party with all my friends.
Well, it's a party when you play it here. It's fun.
A fun party game.
You can play it with your enemies here. Why play it with your friends? All right. We have more of those that we will record. Mike will be on. We got a great tweet tomorrow. Mike will be here. And Liz Gaines from that, of course, Liz was for a long time at Recode and I think the Journal before that, but she's now at a new thing we've been talking a lot about called 60DB. Mm-hmm. And who else?
And Jason Heiner.
And Jason Heiner from Tech Republic. So I got my watch, the LG Sport. I bought this not knowing you were going to be here with the style. So I'm excited. We're going to review Android Wear 2.0. What is different about 2?
What is different about 2? A lot of things are different about 2. It is very much a reimagined version of Android Wear, I think.
It's 2 years old now. They've had a chance to not only have their own experience with the Android Wear watches, most of which have not succeeded so well, but they've also been able to watch what Apple has done.
Yes, precisely.
And some of this is in response to Apple. For instance, yours is rose gold.
Ish. Rose gold-ish. It's not really rose, and I also don't understand why it's $30 more than the other LG watch styles. Yeah. But whatever.
Also, detachable, customizable bands.
Really awesome. These are actually, I would like to show you this, because this is pretty neat,
I think. This is something Apple does also with its bands.
Mode there. Watch bands.
Look at that.
Which Google has. You could just buy them directly from Google. They just snap on and snap off. The back, by the way, of the LG watch style. Tiny bit cheapy feeling.
Well, and
I
also have to point out it's lacking the sensors that we normally expect to see on an Android Wear watch. I'll show you mine. It has a heart rate monitor and all sorts of doohickeys.
Just
on there.
A mic and just two mics, I think, actually. Which don't actually, sometimes they don't work very well with Google Assistant.
Yours face is a smaller, right?
Yes. And this is 1.2-inch POLED display.
And it's thinner. Look how thick the Sport is. But the Sport has both simultaneously more and fewer features. It can't change the band. That's permanent because there's antennas in it. In fact, this band is not flexible until you get to about here, which could cause...
Genuine leather right here.
You got leather. I got rubber. And you can replace yours. I can't.
Yes.
You've got many colors. I have this slate gray.
Three colors. So I believe a blackish kind of one, a silverish kind of one, and then this $30 more gold one that you see right here.
Yeah.
The other ones are $250. This is $280.
This is $350. You don't get any choices.
Yes.
I guess what's in common in Android 2?
We both have scrolly wheels. That
we have
scroll
wheels
through
now.
Our... notifications.
Oh, I have to unlock mine. Let me
My friend sent me a picture of a Barbie.
Mine is locked, and I'll tell you why, because I have Android Pay on this one. It has NFC built in, which yours does not.
Yes, which I'm very jealous about, by the way.
So
very jealous.
I can tap to pay on this one.
Yes, you can.
Okay. It also has two extra buttons.
Yes.
The top button, and maybe this is programmable. Like I said, I just got this yesterday. The top button goes to Google Fit. And that makes sense, since these watches are mostly used for fitness. It lets me choose a workout. Mm-hmm. The bottom button, I'll go back to the watch face. The bottom button launches that thing you don't have, which is Android Pay.
Yeah. Well, the thing I use every day, and it doesn't come on the watch that I want to wear.
The other thing this does that yours does not do is it's a standalone phone. It has an LTE radio in it and a SIM card. If you buy it from a carrier, you can have it tied to your phone number on your phone. So if you walk away from your phone, you could still take calls on this. But I did not do that. I bought it from AT&T, but I just said, no, I want it unlocked. And I didn't pair it to my phone. I have a dedicated number for this. So if you call my dedicated number, my watch will ring and I can have a full conversation, much like the Apple Watch. I can have a full conversation. But unlike the Apple Watch, it doesn't have to be anywhere near a phone. This is a phone. It's also got standalone GPS. So this is kind of more like the Samsung Gear S3,
yes,
right? Where it's it does everything without help of a phone.
This one just looks nice.
It does look a lot better.
It does look
a
lot nicer.
Put that on your wrist. I think you couldn't wear this. I don't think a woman of diminutive wrists could wear it.
This is not even happening. What is this?
I know.
This is not.
Yours looks good on me, but mine.
It actually, I really like that color on you, Leo.
Yeah. Well, I have, you know, rose gold skin, so it kind of matches. What are you laughing at? I do. It's rose gold. Yeah, that does look good in me. And what other colors are available? Isn't it? It's heavy.
Yes.
It's thick. It's big.
It's heavy.
Even I, and I'm not a small boy. Oh, I love your Barbie picture. Why is Matt sending you more Barbie pictures? All right. Give me my watch back. So tell me more about
Uh-oh.
Yours.
I think that was computer science Barbie. But anyway. So both watches
Well,
have-
there's Flo right there
yes.
wearing her watch. So you did a review.
I did. And actually, by the way, this is my first time doing my own B-roll. So, ooh,
I like it.
This is
I
interesting.
Think that's nice.
It was an interesting experiment. So the two watches have same processor inside, Snapdragon Wear 2100, which was Qualcomm's wearable processor that they introduced.
They feel snappy, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel sluggish.
I actually have to say, I think they feel more snappy than the Snapdragon 400 that used to be used in the Android Wear smartwatches.
Right. Right.
So I do feel
both have
more snappy.
OLED screens, and they
POLED, yes.
POLED, at least mine. I can't speak for yours, but looks great, and even in bright sunlight,
yes.
I can read it.
But you will notice, though, perhaps maybe over time, that the reds on the POLED can be a little orangey.
Ah.
It's a very minor little thing, but okay.
I'm not expecting this to be color
yeah.
accurate, particularly.
But I mean, it looks good in the sun. I mean, you can
it even looks
you
good
can
when you
see
drink
it in
from the
sun.
Fountain. Yeah, you can.
$250 for this again. It's IP67 for the LG style, so like you can go near water.
How about
again,
mine?
My first time doing B-roll.
Can I go swimming? I love the glasses. Those are great.
This has got a 240 milliamp battery pack in it.
Yeah, that's one thing we should
yes,
talk about.
Yes.
So your battery does not last all day, or does it?
It does. It goes a day and a half.
Okay.
So every other day, you got to charge it.
This one goes a little longer. I'm at
yes.
71%. I got up at 8 a.m.
Yes.
So we're about, what, 8 hours? Into
you have a 400-something milliamp battery.
Bigger
pack
battery.
In there.
But
yeah.
you're going to need it because if you make phone calls or you use the standalone GPS, it's going to drain the battery pretty quickly. And I would bet that you can't get through a full day if you, say, made a few phone calls and an hour worth of working out. And I'll let you know as I get more experience with this. I was able to drain the watch yesterday on a. I took a 2-hour walk,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't hard to get it drained. Charges up pretty fast, as all Android Wear watches do. With inductance charging, in fact, it's a very similar charger to the Moto 360. I put the Moto 360
yes.
and it worked. It's just an inductance charger.
Oh, it worked.
It worked.
Because from what I understand, neither of these have Qi charging, which has kind of bummed me out because, you know, imagine you're traveling and you forgot
your
watch.
Oh, you put it on a pad.
Yeah, like a wireless pad. I mean, assuming you have one. Might be a little thing, but...
You know, it's better than the Pogo pins where you have to get that just right and attach it.
Oh, I absolutely.
I like a little. It's wireless. It's just not officially Qi.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The watch faces are new and different. Did you find one you like?
They are. And I did. And, you know, the nice thing I like about these new watch faces is that we now have complications, which are these little indicator badges that you see here.
And you can program
in the watch
them,
face. So. And you can program them. So what I have mine is programmed is my appointments. On the weekends, I have none.
Right.
I have Google
you have
Laundry
one,
right
you're here.
It's not in my calendar. It's in my paper calendar.
Yeah.
The date, my the battery life's here on the bottom, and then I have my step counter here to the side. Don't laugh at me. Leo, I believe you have a couple more than
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and I have to say a lot of them are really awful. This is terrible. It's too small and
they
too
are.
Busy.
And so I'll show
the
you
one
you
that's
program
the default with the...
The
sport is really ugly. This is called Portions. And it's just got – but it has
Portions.
A lot of complications. So I have my calendar. I have how much I've been active, how many steps I've gone. There's the date. I could see the time in different parts of the world and how much battery life is left. Now, just like old Android Wear, when you slide up, you can see notifications. Oh, we have a flood alert. I can have Google Fit. Here's a missed call, that kind of thing. So, and you can do this gesture.
Boop. Every time you go like this.
Which is, feels like
although
to me.
Although on me, it's hard. Cause
yeah, it doesn't work too well on me. Either.
Watches never fit my wrist just right.
I got to say, and I'll be curious what you think, having worn the Apple Watch extensively and all of the versions of Android Wear since the beginning a couple of years ago, none of these watches are as attractive as real jewelry, right?
Yes.
They're not going to be hand-me-downs in the way that a nice watch is.
Yes.
You don't want to give your kid this. He'll say, what's that antique? My God, is that how you guys
have
to live,
Dad? They have a new one already.
And they're really ugly and big. Now, is it any worse than a standard runner's watch? Runner's watches tend to be ugly and big, too.
Oh,
it does
yeah.
many of the things that the runner's watch does.
Garmin ones,
The heart rate monitor, as far as I could tell, is pretty accurate. I'll be doing some more testing to make sure. But a good, accurate heart rate monitor, GPS, that's, you know, what a runner wants from a runner's watch. I feel like neither the Apple Watch nor Android Wear watch is a must-have for anybody. If you're an athlete, maybe. Although again, you might want one that's specifically for athletes. What do you think? Would you wear this day in day out?
I do, but I wear it as an accessory to my life.
Look at that. That's ridiculous.
Oh yes, and the keyboard. Oh my
that's
gosh,
ridiculous.
We forgot to
Who's
mention
gonna do that?
That there is a tiny keyboard on Android Wear 2.0 because the voice recognition sometimes does not recognize you, so you have a backup, which is
that's
where you
horrible.
Type it in.
Now, I presume this is true of yours. You have Google Assistant on there, right?
I do, yes.
The new Google Assistant, the one that comes on the Pixel
uh-huh.
or with Allo. But it doesn't talk to you.
It's very different.
You talk to it.
Yes.
But then it shows you text.
And it's not as fully featured.
You told it chicken?
No, I said take a note and it heard chicken. It's just, you know.
But I wish it talks to you.
Something went wrong. That happens to me so many times.
Yeah.
And you don't get the same functionality that you would on a Google Home, for instance.
That's Google Home. That's Keep right there.
Yeah, that's Keep.
Yeah. The Google Home cards are not as complete?
Well, no, the commands that you could do with Google Home,
yeah.
they're not the same commands that you can do with the watch. So,
I see with
yeah.
the assistant.
So you could see like what's playing on the different Chromecasts in your house, on your network. But if you want to ask it to start playing a specific movie from Hulu on the television with the Chromecast, you're going to want to ask the Google Home to do that for you.
Yours looks really good. So
it looks like an everyday watch.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
Now, I'm running Google Translate here. Let's see how this works. I'm going to translate something into Spanish. Yeah, allow translate to record. How much is that doggy in the window? ¿Cuánto es? Now, it won't speak it, though, right? It's just going to...
Wait, yours has a speaker, doesn't it?
Yeah, but does it speak it? No.
It should. That would be helpful.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. That way it could speak for you when you're traveling.
Hablo aha. Anyway, so there you go.
Oh, tech.
But at least you can show somebody, it's not going to be easy. Like you go, look at that.
Would you like
look
to see that. The time? Let me awkwardly
And they're
going to
step back from you slowly and say, thank you, senor. Bye-bye.
Do you need to know the time?
I'm not a big fan of this category, frankly. Smartwatches seem to me to be only mildly useful and mostly unattractive.
Yeah, there's still no reason to buy one, except it's an accessory. It's plugged my allegiance to Android right here.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this every day.
I don't think people will see that and go, what's that? They just think it's a watch, kind of a cheap watch.
Actually, whenever I would wear an Android Wear watch, I would get asked, is that an Apple Watch?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I, by the way, don't think the Apple Watch is much more attractive. It looks like a little pillow sitting on your wrist. I feel like this category has yet to find its sweet spot.
The
killer app or something that you really got to get for. Here's a question for you. Maybe you know the answer. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote this. What is Google's vision for Android Wear? Where do they want to go with this?
That's a difficult question that I have not been able to answer. And in my whole review on AndroidCentral.com, I sort of started out like, nobody has given me any reason to buy this.
That's exactly it.
Whatsoever. I would not, I mean, quite honestly, I would not spend $250 of my own money on this watch. This, you know, this was a review unit. So
this one I spent $350 of my own money on. I guess the one thing you could say for Apple is it's a status symbol. And the one thing you can never say for Android Wear is that it is in any way a status symbol. There is nothing to be gained by wearing an
Android. It kind of was in the Android community, just in the sort of way of like,
wow, you have
I'm with you, Google. I got a watch. Yeah. That's kind of how I wore a watch, but
I just don't see it going anywhere. Anyway, there you go, Android Wear 2.0. It's not really much better than Android Wear 1.0. That's our review. But yours looks nice. Well, do you think you'd buy one if you said you wouldn't? Not.
The only way I would buy one is if it came with built-in NFC. I really want to be able to just go like this when I go to CVS. No, why is that so
overrated.
Much to ask?
It's overrated. Just pull your credit card out and swipe it. Come on.
Oh, no, the chip. You have to put it in and you have to wait. And it's
That's true. This is faster.
I just want to get it and get out.
And incidentally, they don't do this quite as elegantly. Apple locks the watch until you unlock the phone, and then it's locked as long as it stays on your wrist. Google doesn't have a mechanism like that, but you do want some sort of lock. So they offer a pattern lock, a password lock, or I chose a PIN code to unlock the phone. And then it stays unlocked, I guess, while it's on your wrist as soon as you take it off. Just like the Apple Watch, you have to re-unlock it. There you go. There's our reviews. Flo's review, and you can watch it all. Where is
AndroidCentral.com.
AndroidCentral.com. You can see that video of the LG Watch Style. I'll be doing a more complete review of the Wear 2.0 probably in a week or two. I want to give it as much time as you gave your Style watch. So Brian Burnett's at it again. He is our resident maker, one of the hosts of Know How. And he did this once before. He turned a Raspberry Pi into an Amazon Echo. But now you have voice activation. So he's going to revisit that project. Brian?
This is Brian Burnett, host of Know How. And last August, I built an Amazon out of a Raspberry Pi. It worked fine, but it was push button. And since then, a new model of the Raspberry Pi has been released, the Model 3, making things much snappier. So I decided to revisit this project now that you can have voice activation and there's a faster Pi out. Gonna need a Raspberry Pi Model 3 or 2. I'm using the 3. A USB mic, an 8 GB or larger micro SD card, a micro USB cable and power adapter, and a speaker. First things first, download the Raspbian Jesse OS and get that loaded onto the SD card. And then you're gonna need to sign up for an Amazon developer account. It's free, and once you've done that, you'll navigate to the tab and then the voice services. Next, you'd want to register product type and then device. Now, you'll want to name it. So under your security profile, it will say security profile ID, client ID, and client secret. Those are going to want to keep track of. Next, go over to the web settings tab and type in https://localhost:3000 and then allowed return URLs https://localhost:3000 auth response. Now this is the port that the Pi will be looking for to authenticate with the software on Amazon side. And now that you have your device set up on the Amazon developer side, plug in your SD card into your Pi and boot up into Raspbian for the first time. You're going to want to open up a terminal, and in that terminal, you'll type cd desktop. Next, you'll type in git clone https://github.com//avs-sample-app.get. And if you're having trouble remembering that, just check our show notes and there'll be a link there with the instructions. You can right-click on the new folder on your desktop, avssample.app, and open it in a new terminal. And in the terminal, type nano_install.sh. And this opens up the file where you will be plugging in the information that you got from your Amazon developer page. And then open the desktop AVS sample app in terminal and type .automated_install.sh and hit enter. This will have you go through a quick questionnaire. Once completed, open up the AVS sample app /samples folder in terminal and type in CD companion service ampersand npm start. Next, open a new terminal window from AVS sample app /samples and type in CD Java client ampersand MVM EXEC colon EXEC. And what this does is launches a pop-up that will direct you to the Amazon developer account. So here's the pop-up. Click yes. It'll open up a web page in your browser. If you want to click advanced and proceed to localhost, even though it says it's unsafe, it's fine. It'll direct you to your Amazon account. And this is basically asking your permission to assign your device and click continue. And you should see device tokens are ready. Then if you flip back to the pop-up and click OK, now your Raspberry Pi is connected to your Amazon services. Open up the AVS sample app / samples folder in terminal. And in this terminal, we will be setting up our wake word by typing CD wake word agent / SRC ampersand forward / wake word agent - E kit KITT _ AI. And this will activate the wake word setting for our Raspberry. Play me my flash briefing.
Here's your flash briefing from this week in tech.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Megan Maroney from Tech News Today.
I know some of you out there might be thinking it's easier just to buy a dot and that would be the same. But if you have a Raspberry Pi laying around and a speaker, this is a fun project to do just to be able to play around with some of the background services that the is capable of. And as always, now that you know how, go build it.
Very nice. Now you can have a $35 Amazon Echo. Of course, you could just buy a dot for $50. So you save $15. But you got some fun out of it, too. Brian Burnett and know-how twice a week now on twit.tv/KH. All right, you ready for the mailbag?
Always.
Oh, that flow.
It's
Lawrence
my favorite
Ion,
part of
you
the
see
show.
Her every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 in the morning, UTC.
Oh. Well, you'll be my Valentine.
Don't tell your husband. And then I like this one. What does yours say?
Well, mine just says Happy Valentine's Day.
Mine says,
I like yours.
Keep calm and take a selfie. Mm-mm. Bring a smile to somebody's face. Do they still do those hearts, the little candy hearts?
They do.
With the sayings on them?
They do.
Be mine.
And actually, Kim Kardashian has her own line of them.
What do hers say?
Bad words.
Keep calm and take a selfie.
Damn, bad words.
All right. Bad words. They have for a while. They added some digital. Remember they added some digital stuff like
yes.
Email me.
Yes.
Or, you know, chat me on AOL.
IRC me.
ASL. That kind of thing, yeah. Pick LOL. Pick an email there.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I know. This is pressure.
I'm trying to see if I can cheat.
Which one do you want? Do you want the one that starts with hello? Or do you want the one that starts with hi, Leo?
Hello.
There you go.
That one sounds like it's for you especially.
This is question one. I'll start. Hi, Leo. I've been on the wait list. For 128 gigabyte Pixel XL. That's the one you want, right? The big size one.
Yeah. Don't get the
size.
Small one. I did. And
I
regret
actually,
it.
Yeah, the 32 gig?
Yeah.
No, get the 128.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
the, not the XL, but the regular Pixel, and I love it. But it's 128 gigs. He says he's been waiting for 12 months today.
Aww.
Is he even that old? Google has no info when it'll be available. My question is, should I even bother? Do you know if Google will be updating the Pixel in the near future? Well, one thing I'd say, and this may be, by the way, this is Clayton, the After Effects guy. Clayton, the After Effects. So one thing I would say, if you go right now to the Google Store, there's only a 4 to 5 week wait for the 128
That's
gig
all.
Pixel XL.
That's it.
That just changed. Because it has been, you couldn't even order it.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're on the wait list, just ignore that and go right to the store.google.com and you can buy one. You'll have to wait a month. But his larger question, which I think is reasonable, when will there be a new Pixel? You should know this.
Probably in October, I would assume.
Is that
if we're
going
to stick
it?
To the schedule. I think the idea is to compete with
That's
the
right.
Apples.
They announced it right before Apple announced their new iPhone 7.
I think like, was
September
it a day before or a week before?
Yeah, it was
I
real
can
close.
Remember. It was very close.
So, okay. So.
Yeah.
I would get it now. I'm very happy with it. Do you like your Pixel?
Yes, but I was looking for it in stock, which it is not,
right.
except on eBay,
right.
which some of
well,
them are
Well, you can't get the blue
inflated.
One. Jason was smart to get the
yeah.
blue one when he could.
I jumped on that immediately.
But
yeah.
I would get a 128. I could live with 32, but you just
You
have
could,
to,
but it's a lot of maintenance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So much maintenance.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
You have to delete things.
Always.
Like, I like to keep, like, 5 or 6 audiobooks online. I wouldn't be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I like to keep a large classical music playlist for when I fly. I wouldn't be able to do that. But
yeah.
You can get by with 32. It's just you have to be careful.
Yeah.
So, but I would say order a Pixel if you can get it. Go look right now at store.google.com and see if they have them. Because it is, in my opinion, the best Android phone made. It's not an inspiring design. It isn't. It's boring looking. But functionally, it is fantastic. Great camera. The Google Assistant. Decent battery life. I think it's a great choice.
Camera's great. That's isn't all it? I use in New Zealand.
Fantastic
and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I don't have portrait mode. But yeah. The camera on that thing is great.
Portrait mode is a mixed bag because it doesn't always work. Even on the right. On the portrait modes that Jason showed, there are some errors where it's because it's not
the wrong spot.
It's not doing it perfectly. So it's fine for kind of quick. Get a good camera if you want portrait mode. All right, your question. I think it has to do with this thing.
Yes. Hello. Last night I fell asleep listening to the Tech Guy show with my iPad on the nightstand next to my Amazon Dot. When I woke up this morning, I saw an email confirming my purchase of an Amazon Echo at 10:57 p.m.
While he was asleep?
While he was asleep. I think Leo was talking about the wake words different devices use and how he could wake up echoes all over the world. It isn't a big deal. I will just return it to Amazon, but Leo's correct. He might not just wake them up. He might order a few thousand.
I'm so sorry.
I would be interested if there were any similar reports from other listeners. Thanks, Robert.
Do you think Robert was, like, unhappy? And I'm sorry, Robert.
Maybe he kept it. Maybe Robert actually kept it.
Didn't he say he returned it already?
Well, maybe he changed his mind after he wrote it. Who knows?
Gosh, I'm sorry. We try to make that rule, and that's why in Brian's piece with all the sound effects, not to say trigger words. It's very difficult because... Even though it's called an Amazon Echo, here it is. Everybody calls it by its colloquial name.
Of course.
The name of the lady.
You want to personalize.
Yeah. So we're going to bleep this out on the recorded version. But on the live version, you might want to press...
Cover your ears, little Alexas.
Press the mute button, the little red button there. That'll make sure that it's not listening when I say, buy an Echo.
Amazon's choice for Echo is Amazon Echo, in black. It's temporarily out of stock, and will be delivered by Wednesday, March 1st. It's $194.39 total, including tax. Would you like to buy it?
Yes. Now, that would have to happen on the radio show. I think that's unlikely. Now, Jerry, this is Jerry's...
So I've added it to your shopping
list. Jerry did the right thing, which is and you can turn this on in the Echo app. It needs a 4-digit code to approve, and you want to do that, right, Jerry?
Yes.
Because you have a small child. Remember the story about the dollhouses and the sugar cookies that arrived at one person's house? Because their child started talking to the Echo and saying, wouldn't it be great if we had a doll? Somehow... But you see, I find this difficult to believe that I said in exactly the right order, you know, a word, buy an Echo, and then 10 seconds later, yes. So I mean, really? I think it's just as likely that you woke up, bought it, and forgot about it. But anyway, my strong suggestion for anybody who has an Amazon Echo is go into the settings and turn on the PIN number because you don't want accidental orders. And I apologize. And if you did get stuck with that Echo, send me another note, Robert, and I'll be glad to buy it off you because I feel terrible if that's what happened. Seems like that's unlikely.
We make Google Homes go off all the time and all about Android. So we had to make a mandate to stop saying, okay...
Yeah.
So and so.
Yeah. Well, on MacBreak Weekly, we call Siri Shlomo.
Oh.
So that way, there's never, you know, we say, hey, Shlomo, and there's no problem.
And it's hilarious every time.
And it's hilarious.
Yes.
Here, we just make sure we call it the Echo. And I, at work, I've set mine not to answer the A word, but to answer the a different word.
I was going
to
say, why not change the, now that you can change the way you.
Yeah. You have Echo, A word, Amazon, and computer. Do not choose computer because I say that word a lot. And mine is always waking up.
Especially here, yeah.
But I just find it, even with the dollhouse story, I find it difficult that somebody could accidentally order something.
Yeah.
It has to be done in just the right order and everything.
Maybe with a dash button.
Oh, now don't mess with the dash button, okay? Because that just orders it. Yeah, that just orders it. Hey, Flo, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. You'll be back Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific.
I will.
All about Android.
Yeah.
And we expect to hear more about your style.
Yeah. I'm going to wear it for a while and see. Maybe I will decide it's worth the money after all.
Maybe
I
need more time with it. A twit switch and you could wear my sport for a while. You wouldn't want to, trust me.
That?
You'd get carpal tunnel if you wore this. I think it's
not. I'd probably cheat and just not wear it while working. That's probably what would
pocket.
Happen.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do the new Screensavers every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific. That's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC, if you want to watch live. You can email us, like Travis did and Lena. Mm-hmm. And they're from Bend, Oregon, you know, so they made a special trip. And just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put out a chair for you. And by the way, this is just a few more days left in the Twit survey. Actually, it's not true. There's like 3 weeks, but I want some urgency here. So if you haven't yet done it, I just got a tweet from somebody who said it didn't take very long. It took a couple of minutes. If there's questions you don't feel like answering, you don't have to. If there, some people said, you know, you only give me a few choices for, you know, what shows I listen to. I listen to more. Just do the best you can. It doesn't have to be perfect, okay? I give you permission to skip if you want. Twit.tv/survey. But it does help us, not only in planning our programming, but helping us sell advertising. Because advertisers, we don't collect information on our audience. And advertisers are curious. Well, who's watching? Is it children? Is it adults? Is it old people? Is it men? Is it women? Ooh, ooh, ooh. So this helps us a lot, we can say. Well, according to our survey, it's a lot of people just like Flo. True. True. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.